Showman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. And yesterday, I know I was not alone in this, but when Chase McCabe texted me that our friend Mark Howard, who had spent the last year doing Titans pregame shows with us, doing our NFL draft coverage with us, that our friend Mark Howard had passed away, it absolutely was a shot right to the gut for me. I know it was a shot right to the gut for you. I mean, this morning, listening to different people, everybody around, listening to everybody around town, whether they were in the media or they were a listener or a caller or whatever it may be, talk about Mark Howard. It really made me feel better about something that I feel so awful about. And so with that, you know, it's weird for me because Mark Howard was on TV when I was a kid. And then I remember driving my dad's minivan, no disrespect to minivans, but my dad's minivan, I remember driving when I was 14 years old or 15 years old with a learner's permit. So I was like learning how to drive. And I remember driving to school listening to the Wake Up Zone. And Frank and Mark would get into it, and I loved every second of it. And so I was a fan. I saw Mark on TV as a child. And then after Mark and 104.5 separated, you know, he had to wait out his non-compete. But as soon as his non-compete was up and he was able to work with us, I remember telling Ryan, we have got to get Mark Howard on the draft coverage. And the three days or 2 days or whatever that we did with Mark Howard, with Mark and TD and Chris Sanders, was some of the most fun that I had ever had doing the radio. And last year we had a spot on our pregame show, and I remember we absolutely had to go get Mark Howard. And I learned a lot about life just shooting the breeze with Mark Howard, and I only spent a year with him. Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kaharsky saw Mark Howard every day for 10 years. You guys have traveled with Mark Howard. You guys have worked with Mark Howard before you guys were together on Midday 180. Paul, you would do the mornings, you know, all the time on the Wake Up Zone. So I know how gutted we were yesterday when we heard the news about Mark. How did it affect you? How did it hit you guys? First of all, thank you for joining us, all three of you. I wish it were under better circumstances. But just your feelings. Paul, you wrote a great column, by the way, on Mark as well, over the last 24 hours, thinking about our friend Mark Howard.
Well, Jared, that's what I tend to do in such circumstances. I got word from a mutual friend and talked to my wife, sent a note to some of these guys, and pretty quickly sat down and wrote because I figured that'd be cathartic for me, and people would be curious to hear some memories once they came to terms with the news. I haven't been in great touch with Mark since he's been unfortunately out of the business, but we did share occasional texts, and so I kind of shared some of the information about that. But somebody today sent me a picture from way back when we broadcast at the Zone from a downtown studio, with me just laughing hysterically and Mark in the background doing so. And as I wrote, I pulled into the Zone studio those three mornings a week when I was doing an hour with the Wake Up Zone, just crackling with excitement because I knew that Kevin, Mark, Frank, and I were going to have something big, and we were going to get into something. And from item zero on his list to the walk-off, which I think ranks as a famous sports talk moment, where he thought he was going to walk a former Pro Bowl tight end into the ground because he had gotten a little bit fit. Were just classic moments.
It also tells you what he thought about Frank.
Guy. Yeah. I mean, listen, Mark was getting fit and Frank was getting unfit, but this was not two ships passing in the night where they
different
had,
directions.
Yeah, yeah, in different directions.
They had not passed each other on that voyage.
Jared, I immediately thought of the different stages of my career and how I can link Mark Howard to practically all of them, quite frankly. I mean, when I first started as an intern with Titans Radio, Mark was hosting the pre- and post-game show, Titans Talkback, with Peter Sermon and Kevin Dyson at the time. And I was helping, you know, produce copy there. I ended up doing scoreboards there with him. I met his son Jack for the first time, who was probably 5, 6, 7 years old. And how, you know, I would figure out what Jack wanted. Mark was Jewish, but he wanted to know what Jack wanted for Christmas. So I would go figure out what Jack wanted as a gift, report back to Mark, and I told Jack, like, by the way, whatever you tell me, you're going to get. So what do you want?
Green room sessions.
Yeah, from that to I traveled with him in the AFL, in the Arena Football League, the two games that Mike Keith didn't call. I forget what came up, but he could not make the Texas road trip. So I traveled southwest with Mark Howard, and the man to this day, he falls asleep faster than any human I've ever been around on a flight. And just the generosity that he would give, not just to me, but anybody that was trying to make or pave a path in the business, to teaching me the right way to go about being prepared. There was no one that I came across that was more prepared for any topic than Mark Howard, from hockey to football to badminton or the Olympics. Like, the guy could just recite stat after stat, and if he couldn't remember it, he had 45 pages of notes in front of him where he had killed the tree the night before in order to get the show prepared. The guy lived it, and outside and from beyond just the microphone, he was an excellent father for Jack.
Yeah, I was around him the least of the three of us, and you can really – the longer you're in this business, you can tell people who really, really like sports and love it and live it from those who don't. Mark Howard loved it.
Yes.
I mean, that's what he knew. He watched it. He read about it. He thought about it. When he wasn't thinking about it, he studied it. And that really came across, whether he was on Channel 5, whether he was on local radio, wherever he was, that always came across to me. Again, I had the least amount of interaction, but I just remember being a little bit intimidated of Mark when I started out, because he was the guy I saw more than anyone else, more than Frank Wycheck. You know, I watched Titans games once a week during the fall. Yeah, I saw Frank Wycheck, you know, once a week on Titans games, but Mark Howard was in my living room all the time growing up on Channel 5. So he was kind of this larger-than-life figure when I first met him. So that's the guy I remember when I first started working in local radio being most intimidated of, because – I had seen him more. Jared, I saw you tweet about it also. You grew up watching him mm-hmm. on TV, then listening to him, and then eventually working with him. That was my experience as well.
Jared, I talked a little bit online to his brother, who reached out to me. There'll be a public memorial in a month or 6 weeks here in Nashville.
I do wonder for you guys when it comes to Mark. One thing that I realized in the year that we would do pregame shows or he would fill in or whatever it would be, was I felt like the Mark on the radio was the Mark in real life, and that everything about him was authentic, even the way that he would cut callers off and yell in arguments. I mean, Chris Sanders would say some crazy stuff, and Mark Howard would just let Chris have it. And I loved that about him. I loved how he would, you know, really get into it with the callers on Titans postgame shows. What about his personality do you guys remember the most?
Jared, I know this is hard for you to understand, but Mark Howard, Chad Withrow, Jonathan Hutton, Paul Kuharsky, we are all the same guys on the air that we are in real life. You're the exception being an actor.
Oh, I think I'm 100% the same guy.
No. So, I mean, Mark was great at being himself on the air, and we all fell in line with that. But I think you think there are a lot more people playing a character on Nashville radio than there really are.
Oh,
Mark was authentic.
But there are people playing characters all over the place.
There absolutely
in sports talk radio.
And so Jared, a great example.
Authentic and organic.
A great example, whenever I'm screening calls for Titans Talkback, which is my still to this day, I would go and screen calls immediately, like right now, if the Titans just lost a game to the Chicago Bears, for instance, and Mark was having to field phone calls on it immediately for the reaction to Mark. But what we would do, we would have fun games behind the scenes. If he got into an argument with Peter Sermon or with Blaine or with Dice, and all the calls we were taking would agree with the players. And we would have a batch of phone calls, 8 of them, all the lines full, even the hotlines that people had the number to. And the subject line, if I wanted a caller who was going to call in and just bash Mark, because I knew it was going to be great radio, in the subject line, I would say, loves Mark's opinion on this. And Mark, like, I would go in and tell everyone, like, he's going to go to Brian on line four first, even though others have been on hold the longest, because Mark saw that he was going to have somebody who agreed with him. And then Mark would put the, you know, ball on the tee, and this guy would just come in hot after Mark, and they would get into it. It was great radio. But Mark was authentic. You didn't always agree with where what he was doing or how he went about things, but you respected the opinion and the background and the study he put into it, because you knew he was prepared to talk on the subject. And I think that's the key. As long as you're prepared and you know what you're discussing, the audience is going to respect that, and they certainly did with Mark Howard.
I feel like all three of you have had incredibly successful careers, even as much as that pains me to say about Paul. But I will ask this question, which is, what did Mark Howard do for each of you in terms of your career and your life?
Well, he kept me going, right? Like, he would give me advice along the way. And sometimes advice that I needed to hear on, you know, some interviews that I would do at Super Bowl Radio Row, I'd get back and think they were cool. And Mark would, you know, pick it apart for me. From that to just, you know, the preparation side of things behind the scenes, calling. We did a high school game of the week together one year where we were paired together. That was a blast. He was going to be as prepared for on any level, whether it was a high school game, to calling a game for the TWSAA championship, to hosting the morning show, which was his show. When you come up with the topics and the guest list and everything that Paul Bible and Brandon Hagany were doing, they were going through Mark to make sure the show lined up the proper way, to being ready for the Preds broadcast or the Titans broadcast. He put everything into it. And he didn't take the listeners for granted who were going to be tuning in, no matter how little or how much, to a certain broadcast. He was going to make sure that he was prepared to speak on that certain topic or issue of the day, and he was not afraid to discuss or ask the tough questions to the guest that would come on that he had a great relationship with, that he has built over the years through that consistency. And I think that's a great quality to mention with Mark. He was extremely consistent no matter what he was doing in the professional line of work that he was working on at the on the time.
Yeah, the best thing he did for me was he didn't think that I sucked early on, I think. I mean, he paid me enough respect that I remember going to different places and covering Tennessee in the NCAA basketball tournament, and I'd go on the different shows, and they would have me on Wake Up Zone, and Mark would come in prepared, like we're talking about. He'd have notes upon notes, and he'd have a very long question set up, but he treated me like any other reporter or anyone else that would go to a game or be covering something and would ask questions about Tennessee or who they were playing or whatever it may be. And you better believe I was prepared for whatever question Mark Howard was going to ask me. But it would have been easy for someone in his position to think, I'm not interviewing this kid fresh out of college that's there to report on a team that I probably know more about, or at least I think I know more about than he does. So the fact that he treated me with that respect and it was someone that I looked up to in the business, I think really helped me early on in the profession.
He and Frank were really running the show there as the Wake Up Zone started, and they gave me, you know, a big megaphone and a lot of opportunity early in my career. I'm a newspaper guy at heart, but to them I was a newspaper guy that translated to radio, and Mark taught me that easy, regular conversations among friends laughing together made for good radio, and to be willing to be the butt of the joke. Which he was, I think, fortunately for me, a little more often than I was, but we all took our turns, and that made it incredibly fun.
When you guys think about legacy that's left between television and radio and how he did it at such a high level for so long, what do you think the legacy that Mark Howard leaves as a sportscaster in Nashville is?
I think it's really big. I mean, I thought it was really big, and then I've seen the response, Jared, on the piece that I wrote and on Twitter, and it is just remarkable how many people are pointing to specific elements of the radio that happened when I was on his show, and just to him in general about this guy got me through so many of my drives from Rutherford County to work or this guy was the voice of my childhood drives to school, and on, hundreds of comments like that that I'm sure are representative of thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands of people emotions in and around Middle Tennessee. It's one of the things that's heartening when you're sad about the loss of a guy to see how many people he touched that way.
Jared, he's in the same class for me as David Clymer. He is a Tennessean through and through, no matter how much of a Yankee he was leaning into. I mean, he was with Hope Hines at Channel 5 as we were in the collegiate era of Nashville sports and took us through the professional gains that the city has seen and was there along the way for all of it. Both pre and post pro sports in Nashville. And he was legitimately someone you wanted their opinion on based on the news notes and rumors that were going on that would help you understand, but also keep everyone consistent in the way that they were going about their day-to-day business for these teams. You wanted to know the criticisms that Mark had because he was hard on the teams that he was covering, and he was doing that at Channel 5 prior to joining the Zone. So I look at him the same way I look at Clymer. I missed it dearly, and I will with Mark Howard the same way.
Yeah, I think a great comparison with David Clymer. David Clymer, though, grew up in Wilson County, where I grew up, and went to Lebanon High School. To me, much more of an insider, and I don't say that as a knock to Mark. Mark, to me, Jared, was the first legitimate outsider in Nashville sports and the most true outsider. Because I can't think of anyone that had a bigger impact that was so different from everything in Nashville. Even if you weren't from Nashville and you were on TV, it felt like when you grew up, this person is from around here.
Sure.
Right? It all was kind of a similar sensibility, whether it be on sports talk radio, on television, with the writing. And Mark Howard was the first guy I could think of that was so legitimately, organically not from here. And I say that as a compliment. Because he wasn't from here. People that listened to him or watched him knew he wasn't from here. Yet they grew to love him. And they grew to love his honesty and how genuine he was about things. And I think that's, to me, sort of the lasting legacy of what he left here in Nashville sports.
That's probably a big part of why he and I hit it off, a couple of Yankees.
Mm-hmm. I actually was thinking about that yesterday. I was watching the Sunday night baseball game, and they had an ad for the Derek Jeter documentary. And there was a part of me that was like, Mark didn't get to finish the Derek Jeter documentary because even though I hadn't talked to him about it, you guys know as well as I do that Mark, at the second that he could get his hands on the Jeter documentary, he was watching it and was probably excited for the future episodes. And that's just the kind of guy he was. He liked what he liked, and he said it how he felt.
He definitely would have loved to have seen the rest of that, but I guarantee you there's nothing that ever came out about Thurman Munson, his favorite Yankee, that he didn't see.
I can also guarantee you that he would have been the only media member to, and I know he did this even without having the full-time show, that would watch the NHL and MLB drafts. Like that guy, he would physically sit and torture himself by watching those things so he could take physical notes on what the analysis was on these guys.
And Canadian junior hockey. I get grief about all that stuff all the time. I'm like, you do not have to watch this. There's nobody else in the city who cares.
He knew more about Swedish hockey prospects than anyone in the history of Nashville sports, that's for sure.
I think the last thing I'll leave you guys with is when the news was circulating that he had passed away, I talked with people at the Titans and at the Predators, and they were as devastated as we all were. And you guys bring up the honesty. I mean, he and Frank, and Paul was a big part of this too. When I was a kid, they used to get into it all the time. Mark never shied away from saying what he thought about the Titans. He never shied away about the Predators. And for both teams to be as upset as they were, as upset as the fans were, I thought really proved what he meant to this city.
Well, and Paul was right there for it, and it's more of the insider of that relationship. But I thought Mark and Frank were such a great yin and yang because Frank had this way about even his speech pattern. You know, when he was on, he was so calm, and Mark was not that type of personality. He was going to be very direct. He was going to go through his notes. He was very serious about what he was talking about. And Frank was the perfect foil to Mark Howard in that he wouldn't care as much. He wouldn't get worked up. and in doing so would get Mark more and more worked up, which I thought was a beautiful chemistry between the two for so many years on radio.
He was very approachable, Jared, like from a behind-the-scenes standpoint. I think that helps him a lot with the teams that you're bringing up that would speak on his behalf too, despite how critical he may have been on any given moment with those teams. He knew everyone on a first-name basis. He would know, that, for instance, producers that he's worked with, salespeople in the building, he knew their kids by name. So I think making the way he was approachable, but also the way he treated others behind the scenes went a long way. And this started back whenever he was with WTVF and Channel 5 to the last time he was turning a microphone on. The subject matters locally, I'm speaking of, that he was discussing from Knoxville to Nashville to Memphis. He knew the subject matter, and he knew the people behind the scenes there because he had just talked with them the night prior to get information.
They covered the team stuff perfectly. I'll jump in with one more memory that's just coming to me. There was some newfangled, I don't even think it was a video game. It was something you did on your computer. And it was kind of a metaverse kind of thing where you could build a life for yourself. And so we were talking through building these new lives for ourselves, and we were correcting our stuff. You know, we were inserting our dreams into this life. But once we got started on that, then we started correcting everybody else's life for them, you know. So we were making Mark skinny, and we were making Frank smart, and we were going on and on. Oh, my God. We were having a field day with this, and I think we kept texting each other about it for a couple days after that. Just had a blast.
Guys, this is the last one I'm going to leave you with. And again, Outkick 360 with us here, remembering Mark Howard. We both, Caroline and I, worked with him in comparison to you guys so little compared to how often you guys saw him. Jack was such a big part of what he did and talked about and what he cared about around us. And I think a lot of people last night were thinking about Jack. No, we were thinking about Jack. Just the relationship that he had being a father with Jack and what that meant to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, especially on the weekend shows, whenever Jack would have been early middle school, right before high school, he was around quite a bit for the Titans broadcast. And whenever the Preds were on the early portion of the Preds games during the week, Jack would be there, and he'd be hanging out in the hallway, and I would always stop and say hello to Jack. And Jack made it known that his last name was Levinson, not Howard. He hated that. So whenever I would walk by, I'd be like, "What's up, Jack Howard?" He's like, no, my last name's Levinson. And so we would hit it off there, and then I would make him thank me for the Christmas gifts that he received the year prior. It's a huge point of emphasis for Mark to always include Jack and what they were doing. The things that come to mind specifically are the comedy shows that he would take Jack to, the movies. I thought, I was like, Jack, you realize how awesome it is that you're going to a rated R movie
tonight? Mark didn't look at ratings.
Mark did not care about ratings. As long as Jack was entertained, he was going to make sure that they went, and then, they would rehash what happened afterwards. Jack was more well-versed on the ways of the world than I was whenever I was in college and he was in middle school. He made sure Jack was the priority of what was going on in the world of sports that day for him.
Last I heard, Jack was quite a chef.
Yeah, he went to culinary school.
And so I hope he continues with that. I know Mark was very proud of what his son was able to do in the kitchen. And Jack was older than my son, Simon, and so I got kind of a preview of fatherhood from Mark that way, a proud dad who was, telling me about the exciting stages of parenthood with a young son, and those were valuable previews for me as I got to those benchmarks.
I can still hear him just around the studio calling for Jackie.
Yeah.
He was always telling him to stop doing something or for him to come into the studio to do something.
Or get out of that office.
But you could definitely see
some mischief.
It's funny because I just looked it up. I was trying to see the year. I remember having a conversation with Mark about the movie Good Boys.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Seemed like just a friendly adolescent type comedy, but it is a hard R is what I would say with that movie. And I remember he went and I was like, I don't know that I would take my young son to see that movie, but
good.
He did. And I highly recommended it.
It's pretty good.
Judging a book by its cover, good boy. It's not bad.
Mark thought it was funny, too. So it's a good film.
Paul Kaharsky, Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, Outkick 360, of course, on 94.9 The Fan. Guys, thanks for doing this. Unfortunate the circumstances, but it was great to talk to you guys, and it was great to hear what you said about it. It was very nice words about Mark.
Is Caroline there?
I'm here. I'm alive. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good to hear from you as always. Glad you got to speak.
Hey.
Good to
hear from
thanks for having us.
Hey. Thanks for giving Paul energy this afternoon.
I will say this. Caroline talking about Mark earlier today, I mean, it got to me.
She didn't get this.
We'll go back and listen to that.
We'll talk about Mark bringing Jack to movies. He was telling me about it one day, and the next day I came back and I said, Mark, how was the movie? He said, it sucked. And I thought, wow, even still, you bring your kid to movies. You're a good dad. And I'm glad I got to tell him that he was a good dad
We got to hear from you. I got you some airtime.
There we go. Paul
Kaharsky, a man of the people, joining us here on the program. Guys, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for having
us. Appreciate you.
Yep. Those guys, Outkick 360, joining us on the program. And I'll say this, you know, it's funny because I know how, you know, I know what I know of Mark and what you know of Mark, and it doesn't compare to what those guys know of Mark. I mean, those guys truly grew up, not just grew up with Mark on the air like people like me grew up with Mark on the air, but they grew up as people with Mark Howard. We'll get some reaction on it, and of course, I have a couple thoughts as well as we remember our friend Mark Howard. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company on 102.5 The Game.
You think there's any hope here with Julio Jones?
Yeah, I'm not throwing him overboard yet, but it was not an inspiring start. You want to send somebody to take the piano off his back because he looks slow.
He did.
And that, a lot of times, and Chris will tell you, a lot of times when you look slow out there, it's because you're not comfortable or familiar with the scheme. I know routes are routes and all that. But, they got to play faster, too.
Yep.
That was a huge thing. It looked like they were playing underwater last week.
The voice of reason on the pregame show, Mark Howard. I talked to Chris Sanders last night. He was devastated like everybody else with the news of Mark Howard. I will say this, talking to the Outkick guys, Kaharsky, Withrow, Hutton, it raised my spirits a little bit talking about Mark Howard. I was going through my phone last night of these old text messages, you know, that Mark and I would exchange. And a couple of them were awesome. One, my favorite one. So Chris said on the pregame show that he was worried. This was early in the season. I actually went back and was trying to find it. But he said on the pregame show, Chris Sanders did, that he was worried last year of the Texans. This was early in the season, that he was worried about the Texans.
That's a classic Chris Sanders take.
Oh, like a drive your car off the road Chris Sanders take.
100%.
And look, I love Chris Sanders like a brother, but I mean, Chris over the years has said things that I couldn't believe.
He's had some doozies.
And so Mark texted me on a Thursday night. The Texans must have gotten housed on Thursday, September 23rd, because Mark texted me and said, our guy Chris Sanders needs to be drug tested if he still thinks that the Houston Texans are good. And what I loved about that dynamic on the pregame show was, you know, Chris would always say crazy things, and Floyd would kind of sidestep it and then kind of, you know, yeah, I think, where, you know, me, I'm like, that's ridiculous, that's crazy. Mark would give it back to Chris if Chris was being crazy. Then again, Mark give it to me too. So just listening to those guys talk about the advice they got from Mark and the things they learned from Mark, and listening to Paul talk about how he learned as a newspaper guy that on radio you could just have a good time and laugh and people like that. And that's what Mark Howard was. I mean, Mark Howard was, I don't want to sit here and be like, he was a man's man, because that's not what I mean. But Mark was as authentic, and he liked what he liked. And if he liked something, he was all about it. And if he didn't like something, he didn't care. And I remember sometimes being like, so here's like something I talk about the pregame show. Mark John would be like, I'm like, Mark, don't want to talk about that.
Nope. He's over it.
Like, Mark, don't want to talk
about that. Well, the Outkick 360 guys were saying so much about how he was so prepared about so many different things.
Which is true.
But I think another important thing, he wasn't just prepared about those very niche topics. He was passionate about those very niche topics.
Very niche.
Like, I remember we were doing one show together, and at the break he said, are we going to plan to talk about some random like off the wall Blackhawk story. And I thought, you know what, Mark, no, I was not planning on talking about that. But if you feel so passionate to speak on it, he said, oh, yeah, I got something to say. So I thought, OK, please, by all means, because I think this is the only show in the state of Tennessee talking about this very random niche Blackhawk story. But he was passionate about it.
Mark texted me the night that Floyd died and said, and this is so Mark Howard, he said, hey, condolences about Floyd. I know you really looked up to him, really liked him, could be really fun to be around. Other than jogging, he had no hobbies outside of football. I'm like, that is so Mark Howard. It is direct and to the point, and you know it's from the heart. And it reminded me of something that I texted him back, that there was a post-game show where I, you know, Mark said something, and I texted Floyd about what Mark said. And Floyd said back, Mark doesn't know if it's pumped or stuffed. And I told Mark that Floyd said that. And, of course, Mark laughed about that. But, boy, he was a really good guy. He was a really good guy. And every time I read Paul's article, first of all, Paul Garski, if there's anybody that should talk about not being the same guy off the air that they are off the air, it might be Paul. But Paul has written some of the nicest columns about people that have passed away. Between his column about Floyd and his column about Mark, he has written some of the nicest stuff. And I think yesterday when Chase gave me the news and I was processing it, I was on the air on Sirius, and I would do a segment, and then as soon as the segment was over, I'd be thinking about Mark. And every time that that happened, once I got off the air, I was almost on autopilot yesterday. And I was thinking a lot about Mark, and I drank a Diet Coke yesterday. I hate Diet Coke. Like, I think Diet Coke is awful. Like, not the Diet Coke's bad for you. I just think the taste is awful.
You also hate caffeine.
That too. I drank a whole Diet Coke last night in honor of Mark.
That was his drink of choice.
But just to hear the things that people are saying about Mark, there was a part of me that thought to myself, like, when I die, I hope people care about me as much as people care about Mark Howard. I hope people remember me for the person that I am as much as they, you know, remember Mark Howard for who he was. You know, that's how that's just one of the things I thought. And Mark was everything that everybody's saying about Mark. That's exactly who he was, both on the air, off the air. He was everything you thought. If you never met Mark Howard, everything you thought about him is true. Because that's who he was. Adam in Portland wants to weigh in. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, go ahead.
Well, he's been roasted. Like, you talk about him roasting fans, man. He's roasted me a time or two. You can imagine, right? Like, I'm passionate about what I'm passionate about. But long before you, I mean, you guys are next gen, right? You're going to be the future of the greats. He was a great, man. I've listened to him for a long time. I've kind of followed his career around a little bit. He's one of those voices, just like PK, just like George Plaster, even Jared, who you hear his voice and you're like, okay, I know it's him. It's always that you know what to expect with him. The temp really doesn't change too much. They kind of are what they are, and he was a special person to listen to, man. I've enjoyed him for a long time, and I was really bummed out.
I think what you said about that generation, that's a good call, Adam. Thank you for your call. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I was thinking about this today, and the era of sports talk radio in Nashville, and I can talk about pretty much everything sports talk related between the years of 1993 and right now, because I was addicted to sports talk radio as a kid. I can tell you about Boots Donnelly, Bob Bell on 106.7. I mean, I can go all the way back and all the radio stations that, you know, have come up and then would go away and then would come up and go away. And I remember the George Plaster legal battle with 99.7. And honestly, I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk about all these radio stations like this or anything. But I mean, you know, who cares? The thing that I was thinking about was when sports talk radio in Nashville really started. Sports Night with George Plaster and the group, whether it was Blake Fulton or Joe Biddle or Willie or Darren, those guys at 99.7, that was an evening sports show on a political talk station. When 104 became 104.5 The Zone, and became an all-sports station. And it wasn't the first all-sports station in Nashville, but it was kind of the first big all-sports station in Nashville at the time. When that happened, Willie and Darren were doing the afternoons. George was in the middle of a lawsuit with Cumulus and ultimately won his lawsuit and got to, you know, and he would do the Sports Zone in the afternoons. And they put together the show with Mark Howard, Kevin Ingram, and Frank Wycheck. And I think about all the times that I remember listening to that show as a kid. Like, I remember, and I've told the story multiple times today, about I remember listening to that show with a learner's permit driving my dad's minivan at the time. I remember that show when Shea Weber picked up that dude from Detroit. I can't remember his name.
Zetterberg.
That's right. He picked up Hendrick Zetterberg after the Detroit game won, and he pummeled his head into the glass. And how he didn't get suspended, I'll never know. But then that day, so I was in college at the time. I was a senior in college, and I was really, you talk about taking a victory lap, I really did not give two poops about school. I drove in town, like left Louisville, came in, went to the game, spent the night at my parents' house, woke up first thing in the morning to go back in time for class, and I'm listening to the Wake Up Zone as I'm driving, and I remember that so vividly. And it was like I had to hear what they had to say, specifically Mark. You know, all the Titans talkbacks. I could think about when I was in Louisville and I was on the radio at this point and the Titans were freaking awful. And Mark would do Titans talkback, and Titans talkback was spicy when they were bad. And they had gone to Denver. Peyton Manning was at Denver. This was the year they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Seahawks. And if you listen on the stream, here's a fun fact for people out there. If you listen to the radio on the stream, whenever we dump somebody saying certain words you can't say, you hear it on the stream. At least that's how it used to be then. And they had a caller call in that said, you know, Bob, go ahead. And I mean, Mark could be, as I texted you yesterday, nobody cuts a caller off like Mark Howard. And, let's just say, Bob, go ahead. Yeah, I want to know why the Titans suck so much, blank. And what it feels like to be putting lipstick on that pig, and I hang up and listen. And Mark just goes, all right, okay. Like, and I laughed so hard at his response to that. Like, and I can think about all these little moments over the years that I've listened to the show, and, you know, PK and Frank getting into it, and Mark, you know, picking sides. And when I would work with Mark, I would think about those things, and I would think about how cool it was to be working with Mark Howard. And this is a really long-winded way of me not delivering what I was going to say, but what I was going to say is that was the first, like the first, the tertiary group of Nashville sports radio. And no matter what happens, and this is just part of life that I've learned, because in the last year, four people that I've worked with on the radio have passed away. And it's something that I don't want to tell you, you know, hey, get used to it, Caroline. But it feels like something to get used to, at least for me. But I think about, you know, how they set such a standard in this town as far as sports radio was concerned. And I always thought it was cool, you know, that I got the opportunity to work with Mark Howard. So I know that, you know, you got to work with Mark Howard as well. But for a lot of people, Mark was the soundtrack of their lives, and we're going to really, really miss Mark around here. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will get to some of your phones, plus resetting the topic of the day, the official Titans expectations. Stillman & Company, it's 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company here on the program. We will get to your phones in just a second. Let me say this. I am so tired of talking on the air about great people that have passed away, that are no longer with us, and what they meant to us and what they meant to you all in the city and everything else. So if everybody could please just
stay with us.
Stay with us. Because thinking about Floyd, thinking about Mark, it's definitely tough. So today, something that we always do is we always, at the start of the year, right before training camp, the Monday of training camp starts tomorrow, practice starts Wednesday, always set the official Titans expectations, what games they will win, what games they should win, which games are toss-up games, which games they should lose, and which games they will lose. For me, I have six games they will win. The Giants at Washington, at Houston, versus Jacksonville, Texans. They should win, in my opinion. They should beat Denver at home. They should beat Philly on the road. They should beat Dallas at home, and they should beat the Raiders, but I'm uneasy. Two toss-ups with the Colts at Kansas City and at home versus Cincinnati. I think they should lose at the Chargers, and they should lose at the Bills, and they will lose at the Packers. What you do, you take the will wins and the should wins, add that up, take the toss-ups, half it. That leaves you with 12 wins. 12-5 is my official expectation. Caroline is 10-7, and Ian is 10.5 and 6.5. If gambling wasn't legal, I'm not sure we'd be allowed to say that in all seriousness. But those are our official expectations. Do we feel good about our official expectations of the Titans?
Good as in confident about prediction, or good as in...
You feel like you made the right choices to get where you are.
I think I made the right choices. And I really tried to make my predictions this year, knowing what I know. I have a deeper understanding of the team and what to expect, knowing that there's probably going to be a game in there that they lose and they're not supposed to. There's going to be a game in there, maybe multiple, that they're supposed to lose and they win over with an overwhelming lead. So knowing what I know now about the team, I feel good about my predictions.
Ian, do you feel good?
I think I feel pretty solid, yeah. You know, for me, in the NFL, there's just so many toss-up games.
Sure.
You know, and so I feel a little cop-out-ish putting a bunch in the toss-up. But as we saw last year, I mean, these games come down to the last possession just so frequently.
I think I feel pretty good about it. I think I feel pretty good. 12-5, that was what they were last year. I expect them to be better on offense this year because you can't be worse. And, I mean, maybe that's like a Bobo take to say, I expect them to be better on offense because they were so bad last year.
And got
but
the,
I expect
the
them to stay good on defense.
Yeah.
You know, because who knows, going another direction, injuries, everything else. Let's go to your phones to close out the show today. I'm sure a lot of people want to weigh in on Mark. And again, we will miss Mark very, very much around here and all the things he did with us. And and I'll say it like this, too. We're thinking about everybody at 104.5 that knew Mark, everybody that worked with Mark, everybody that cared about Mark, not just Frank and Kevin, but everybody else as well. And I want to commend Jason Martin because I thought he did a fantastic job today honoring Mark. Go ahead.
Robin Clarksville texts in about Mark and says, I hate that I can't scoff at Mark's takes anymore. Other than the Preds, I like the exact opposite team of Mark. I would always shake my head and disagree in the car, and I hate that I can't do that anymore.
Well, I tell you, I've disagreed with Mark many a time in my life. Disagreed with Mark off the air. Disagreed with Mark on the air. I've disagreed with Mark when I was 16. I know that feeling. You know, I think what's funny about my relationship with Mark was there have been people that I've looked up to in life who I've gone to for advice. And there are people that are older than me that have felt the need to give me advice. And it's kind of like the Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis mentor comments. Most of those kind of things happen naturally. I never sought Mark's advice on anything. I was never like, Mark, what do you think I should do with my career? Because when Mark and I started working together and got to know each other, I was like pretty well established in what I was doing. And so it wasn't like, you know, hey, Mark, can you help me get my foot in the door or something like that? But the things that we would talk about between me, him, and Chris, you know, during breaks of the pregame show or on the draft nights or, you know, things that happened in his career. And it wasn't like he was looking to give advice. And it wasn't like I was looking to get advice. But there were a lot of morals to the story that I took away from it. And not just about sports or radio, but about life, you know, about things like divorce. Now, I've never been married, but just kind of what he would tell me about divorce and things like that. Just, I never forgot about those things. And that's something this season I'm definitely going to miss.
Well, I will say one experience I had with Mark Howard, I will say that coming into Nashville, not being from here, it's an intimidating market. It's a growing city, and a lot of the people on air here are all from here, born and raised here. I never knew that Mark wasn't from here. And one day he walked into the studio wearing a t-shirt for a high school that I happened to live 100 yards from when I lived in Connecticut. I said, how do you know that school? He said, I graduated from there. So it was so cool to be able to talk about, you know, a city that he and I both lived in at some point in our lives, a city that he grew up in, a city that I kind of started my professional career in. And it was it almost calmed me a little bit because I thought he has been so successful in this market and everyone in this city loves him and he's not from here. So it was a really cool experience to talk about that and just understand, hey, I don't have to be from here to be able to make a name for myself in the city.
Well said. That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. ESPN Radio is coming up next. Everybody, keep Mark, Jack, the Howard family. Keep them in your thoughts if you can, if you want to. We'll definitely be thinking about Mark. Again, gone too five. It's gone too soon at 65. That's it for us. We're out of here. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game.